This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the Stage of History.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the world's greatest podcast called DreamPod. My name is Tom and I'm joined by my faithful co-host. Faithful? Is that the right word? Mike Phelan. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom.
How's it going? All right?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Fantastic. We are also joined by a new co-host. His name is Kev and he is one of the admins on our massive Facebook group. I say massive. It's probably the biggest Dreamcast Facebook group on Facebook now. Am I right in thinking that?
You are, yeah. I'd like to start by taking an open shot at Facebook Brazil or whatever they were called. Dreamcast Brazil.
A shot across the bow. A warning shot.
And their pathetic 9,000 followers.
As we approach the magic number of 10,000. Yes, welcome, Kev, to your first appearance on the Junkyard. You're not a total newbie to the Junkyard though, because you have been a reader of the site for quite some time and an admin on the Facebook group, and also we have crossed paths many a time at plenty of different gaming events.
Yeah, I like to consider myself a bit of a nomadic stalker of Tom. So.
Aren't we all?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay, as I said, you are listening to the DreamPod, and this is a Dreamcast podcast. But the first thing we always do is talk about what we've played and picked up, be it Dreamcast or otherwise. And I'm going to come to you first, Mike, because it's been a while since we did our last podcast. I'm going to ask you what you've played on the Dreamcast or on current gen. Please, the floor is yours.
Excellent. So current gen, I had a bit of a time in the summer where all I played was racing games, and I'm bored of racing games now. So I am currently playing Wolfenstein 2 on the Xbox One.
Excellent.
And I am playing Assassin's Creed Origins on the PS4.
Do you know what, Mike? I've never played Assassin's Creed.
Nor have I.
Ever. Not one.
I've dipped into Syndicate, wasn't it, I think, the last one, because I like the sort of Victorian sort of idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've always loved ancient Egypt, and so I thought Origins looked really good, and I'm really enjoying it. It's really, really good fun. It's got a lot of modern gaming seems to have just decided that every single game has to have like 4,000 different quests on at one time,
yeah,
and like 50 million controls, which is a little bit annoying, but it's a good game. I'm also playing on my Switch on Mario Odyssey.
Mm.
I think I'm the only person who doesn't think Mario Odyssey is very good.
Do you know what I don't like about Mario Odyssey? The one thing I don't particularly like about it is the way that the guy says Super Mario Odyssey when you turn it on.
That's annoying.
It's a bit annoying. I
just find the entire thing a little bit soulless. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I'm just not fun. But I've got Skyrim coming on for the Switch next week, so I'll be enjoying that.
Are you getting the digital version or the physical?
Physical version, because I always think if you buy physical versions and don't get on with it, you can trade it in.
Exactly. I made the mistake of purchasing FIFA 18 digitally.
Yeah.
And even though I like it, there is going to come a point where I'm going to want to trade it in, but I can't because it's on my Switch.
Yeah.
So
plus, if it's digital with FIFA 18, in 10 years' time, how will someone be able to buy it from a charity shop for about 50p?
That's
exactly.
A good point. That's a very good point. I've deprived the people of the future of a copy of FIFA 18 there.
I'm sure there'll be more. But yeah, it's Skyrim on the Switch next week. I'm a massive Skyrim fan, so I'm buying that. And I'm also buying Skyrim VR for the PSVR. Because you can never have too much Skyrim.
Well, again, a game I've never played.
It's a great game, Tom. It's a great game. On Dreamcast, I have been playing. What haven't I been playing? I'm in a process of reviewing every single Dreamcast game, and I've got 547 reviewed now.
You're a madman. So a madman, I am a madman.
I am indeed. So the last game I played was Ooga Booga.
Oh yeah.
Which is good fun. I've also played a couple of Japanese visual novels this week. I've played Orange Pocket, and I've played some tactical RPG game, which I have absolutely no idea what it was about.
So with Orange Pocket, could you like? How do you play that? Is it? He's got English subtitles, or
with great difficulty,
right?
with a translation guide on my lap and a lot of patience.
I've got to say that doesn't sound like fun.
When I first started doing them, it was fun. Then I got to about the 70th or 80th visual novel, and I realised this wasn't fun. And then I got back into it now. I don't play it for a huge amount of time. I play it for as long as I can to sort of see the technical side of the game and. See the basics, and then I sort of base it on that and the sort of other opinions online for the review, because I'm not going to finish those visual novels. But you can tell quite quickly if it's a standard one. A lot of them are just simply static screens with choices, whereas there's some where you have like sort of 2D overworlds, or you have branching storylines, and you have those extras on there. So you can sort of get a feel for it quite quickly. The biggest problem is things like tactical RPGs, because there's absolutely no way you can understand what's going on unless you know Japanese, and I don't understand Japanese.
I think the thing with visual novels is that they were kind of like the Wii shovelware, weren't they, for the Dreamcast, sort of towards the end of its life, certainly in Japan, where just like tons of like visual novels and dating sims were like.
I think there's a big market in on the PC in Japan for visual novels, and from what I can tell, a lot of them are. Or adult orientated. So obviously none of the games on Dreamcast were ever released with adult content. So I know everyone's probably got the download of is it Lost Toys? Is it the download everyone has? Which is
the one that I always think of is Caleb's favourite, Divvy Dead.
Oh yes, and Divvy Dead as well. Yeah, but obviously they were never released because all of the adult orientated games have had their content stripped for consoles. Right. So okay. They're all quite. Sort of just the basic story. Some of them really good. Ever 17, was it Ever 17 or Ever 7? I can't remember. Ever 17 and that series of games, really, really good visual novels, and I got into them. There's a few others that are really good. It's not impossible to enjoy it, but then I've got a reason to do them. For someone who's just casually playing it, I'm sure it would be the biggest waste of time in their lives.
You're really, really selling the visual novel on the Dreamcast there, Mike.
I've got to be honest with you. I think people should take the plunge and just go for a couple and just sort of like just see what they're like. They are playable. They are. You can get into them, and you can. The stories are quite good if you like Japanese culture, especially. Some of them are quite interesting. There's a couple of good sci-fi ones. A Marionette Company.
Oh, right, yeah.
I've been playing, which is a slightly odd little game. But you sort of get into it, and then you see the sort of themes that are carried over to other visual novels, and you get into it. But I do, anyway.
Mm. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it, Tom.
Cool, okay. We'll stop with the visual novels for that. Draw a line under that one.
Yeah.
Kev, enlighten us.
Sadly, my visual novel collection is still standing at zero.
that makes two of us, then.
Yeah. Tragically, the only things I've really picked up lately haven't particularly been Dreamcast. I bought a PlayStation 2 on Wednesday from a charity shop that it doesn't work, but it had about 17 games with it, which in an odd twist of fate, the games are unboxed, but they're in really good condition, whereas the PlayStation itself was the dirtiest thing I think I've ever touched. So,
oh, cruel fate.
And it turns on, and it just doesn't read a disc, so it's currently in pieces on my desk. Although, what is more kind of Sega focused, I collected a CRT television this week. I've finally given up on the dream of buying a Lycon, because I'm just never gonna have the funds to justify that.
Yeah.
So I don't actually own the Lycon for the Dreamcast at the minute, but I've had my Sega Saturn shooter back out, so. It's been
Kev,
good to relive.
Kev, I think I can help you on two of those points. I've got two PlayStation 2s, one of which I don't need, so you can have that. And I've also got about 8 light guns, so if you want one, I'll send you one.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Awesome. See?
That, That's the karma for collecting a TV from some guy's garage and carrying it 200 yards to my car and then up three flights of stairs.
Is it 4x3?
That's the it is 4x3, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
I didn't want to anger Ross by getting a 16x9 CRT. So
those people listening who've got no idea what we're talking about, all will become clear later on in the podcast. We'll just leave it at that for now.
And then a bit like Mike, I've also been playing Mario Odyssey. I do like it, although I do kind of miss the more focused N64 style. Do you know where you'd start the level and you'd pick what star you were going for?
Yeah, totally.
Feels a bit like Ubisoft collectathon at times when you click on the list to see how many moons are left in the level and you're still like 65 left.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because there's quite a lot of like wandering in there. There's like, and you can kind of just go down I'll go down here, see what's here, and then there'll just be a moon there randomly. Like, well, that wasn't exactly hard to find. So,
well, on the the prehistoric level, when I went back to it for the first time yesterday, I like literally found the moon about 25 yards from where you start. So it was either there the first time I was there and I just completely missed it, or it spews a few of them in after you've been there. But it was a bit like. It didn't really fill me with a success feeling of having captured that.
Yeah.
Literally, just on top of a box, 20 yards from where the ship landed. Like, yeah. Is this what modern game...
It's a bit inconsistent, really, isn't it? It's like, you know, some of them are like really hard to get, and others are like, here you go, have it, you know, or even just buy it, you know.
Yeah, that's... I don't know if that's like a dig at loot boxes or not, but...
Oh, I've never thought of that. That's very meta, that, if it is.
Yeah. Oh. I know most of their... Well, like, I know they did DLC for Mario Kart 8, didn't they? But then they gave that away free on the Switch. But
yeah.
That, when I saw it, I thought that was odd. But then that was what I was thinking. Is this a dig? Is this sticking their fingers up at other people?
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, never thought of that. Hmm. Anything else, Kev, you've been playing?
Talked about this very briefly before. I've been trying to play King of Fighters 5 on close to about 2 years now, and I've still never managed to get a game for it.
King of Fighters 95?
Yes. Right. So I originally had the expansion cart because I bought it, Buy It Now on eBay maybe 5 years ago, having no idea what it was, but just seeing it to Buy It Now, just decided I'll buy that. I'll buy anything with Sega on it. Then I bought the game itself from Japan and it never worked. So I always wondered if there was some kind of region lockout on the expansion cart. And I've just like waited 2.5 weeks on another cart coming up that I eventually found RAM cart, ROM cart, whatever they're called, only on a sale on a Japanese auction seller on eBay. And it's turned up today and I've put it in and it's still doing the same error saying,
it's so bizarre because, like you say, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I've had exactly the same issue with mine. But I've got the game in the cart in the little box set, and plugging them both into plugging the cart into the Japanese Saturn and putting the game in, loading it up. It's like, please insert cart, and it's like the cart is in the slot. What do you want me to do? You know, no amount of blowing or cleaning or anything or twisting it in the cartridge slot makes it recognize. So. Like I said, it probably about 50% of the time it works. So at least I've actually been able to play it occasionally. But my heart goes out to you, Kev, for not being able to play it.
It's not as frustrating as when with my PAL Saturn, I'd had my memory card in there since about 95 since I got it. And it always worked fine. And then I got another one recently because that one was getting full. And I took the first one out, put the new one in, saved some stuff. Went back to the first one. It said it was corrupt. Tried the second one. Then said that was corrupt. So I lost 20 years worth of not very good Sega Rallies times, which was devastating, if I'm honest.
Oh, no, that's awful.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a passion project. I've been trying to beat a friend of mine's time that he set in about 96, pretty much since then. And I was finally getting very close to doing it. And now I've had to start at zero, so...
Wow, that's dedication, that. But
yeah, it's also a sign of that I'm not very good at Sega Rally, but it wasn't a particularly good time.
Well, Yeah, that's pretty devastating, I must say. God. Well, myself, I have also been playing on the Switch a little bit of Mario Odyssey. In fact, well, I say a little bit. I think I've almost finished it now. I've just got up to the, is it Luncheon Kingdom?
Yeah, and, that's where I am.
Yeah, like Kev said, I'm a little bit torn. I like it. It's a great game, and I love the way you can just jump into different levels and you might find something you've not seen before. But it just seems that it's been over a bit quick. Do you know what I mean?
Because small levels, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And again, as Kev said, there's no kind of guidance as to what you're meant to be doing when you go into each world. So it's not like you set yourself a target of, right, I'm going to get to the top of that hill, or I'm going to go and find this or that. You just kind of wander around aimlessly and then just kind of randomly stumble into a moon. So don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic game, but that's a bit, yeah, it's a bit aimless. A couple of other things I've been playing on the old Switch. I've been playing on Fast RMX, a game called Morphite, which kind of sneaked out last week, which is a kind of low-poly version of No Man's Sky. And it's actually really good. I'm really enjoying it. It's a first-person shooter with, like, space elements. You can fly to different planets and collect, like, you know, samples of plants and minerals and things. It's it's really relaxing, to be honest. It's just a nice game to just kind of chill out with. Really good music as well. It reminds me of, like, sort of 80s kind of synth music. And one game that is utterly terrible, which I picked up for the Switch, is one called Don't Knock Twice, which is like a first-person... It's almost like a PT rip-off, but really bad. And, it's just... You know, the frame rate's terrible for a start. The first thing that kind of set alarm bells ringing was in the first room that you start the game in. There was a laptop on a table, and when I went over to it to, like, open the lid, the lid kind of went all the way back and went through the table. And I was just like, oh, no, this is going to be low-budget dross. It kind of wants to be Layers of Fear, but it's just nowhere near as good. So I've been playing that or struggling through that. And last but not least, on the Switch, today I got Doom. And I must say I'm very impressed with how it runs, how it looks. It's basically... Have either of you two played Doom on the PS4 or the Xbox?
Yeah, I played the Xbox version.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
It's basically exactly the same game, but just a little bit, you know, lower resolution. To be playing something that graphically impressive on a handheld is mind-blowing. It's basically exactly the same game. There's a couple of things missing, like Snap Map, but I never really looked at that personally, so it's not really something that I've missed greatly.
Yeah.
And on the Dreamcast, the only game I've really put any effort into or any time, really, is Cave Story, which was a game that was released on the Dreamcast. Well, I say released, it was ported to the Dreamcast, I think, in about 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It's on pretty much everything. And it's a pixel art adventure game. I saw it on eBay. It was a repro version of it that someone had made a box for and everything. So I picked it up for like a tenner, having never played the game before. Didn't even realise it was on the Switch. And yeah, it's a really, really good game. What more can I say? have either of you two played Cave Story on any other console?
I've heard good things about it though.
No. Yeah, it's a really nice pixel art adventure with some cracking music, I must say. The soundtrack is on SoundCloud, and I've spent an inordinate amount of time listening to it when I should have been doing other things. But well worth picking up if you find it. I have actually noticed that since I wrote the article, I'm not saying that this is anything to do with us or the Dreamcast Junkyard or anything like that, but prior to me picking it up, I saw it on the off chance on eBay, bought it, and then since I wrote an article about it on the Dreamcast Junkyard, I've seen loads of other copies pop up on eBay. So make of that what you will.
I bet they're not all £10 either.
No, they're not. No, I think most of them are about £24.99 or £30 plus. If you do see one, feel free to check it out if you've got the money. It's worth it. But for that price, you might as well just go and get it for the Switch, because it's £24.99 on Switch, and that's Cave Story Plus, which is like an updated version.
I think you can download the ISO on the normal websites for the Dreamcast version as well.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. It's freely available. It's just that this one came with a PAL case with some nice artwork and some printed artwork on the disc. So that's why I kind of pulled the trigger on it.
I think there's a I think one of the online repo stores, Retro Game Lab, Retro Great. Let me start again. Retro Game Lab. Mm-hmm. I think they do. They sell the version for about £17, I think.
All right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Like I say, it's worth picking up if you see it or download it. It's great either way. Okay, guys, that's our pickups and what we've been playing sorted. Let's jump in to our first topic of discussion, and that is again talking about a game that is coming to the Dreamcast, and that will be Intrepid Izzy. Mike, you've played this game, and so have I. Kev, have you played it?
I've not. No, sadly.
I'll admit something now. I haven't played it.
Oh, have you not?
No, I haven't.
Oh, sorry. I thought you played it. Basically, Intrepid Izzy was funded last week. It reached its target of €35,000. I think it actually got to about 36,000. Let me just have a quick look. Yeah, €36,367, which is about 57,000 million pounds in pounds. So congratulations to Rule and the CNL team for getting that funded. That means
it was
we'll
tight. It was tight.
It was, yeah. Even on the final day, it was looking tight. Yeah. It just limped over the line, which is great for us as Dreamcast gamers because it means we'll be getting a new game. As I said earlier, I have played it. I played the demo. The demo is freely available. If you go to the Kickstarter website, you can find a link there. And it's just a really great game. If it ends up being anything like the demo, then, you know, we're all in for a good time. I don't like really using the term Metroidvania, but it's kind of like a Metroidvania with some nice fighting game mechanics as well. You can do fighting game moves, which I only found out by accident when I was kind of mashing the joypad, trying to beat a particular enemy. And all of a sudden, I kind of unleashed this this Hadouken. I was like, oh, wow. So I tried it again, and it worked again. So I was like, yeah, cool. So that's not the only Kickstarter, though, that we've seen be successfully funded for the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast Collected Works from ROM, or Read Only Memories, has also been funded massively over its target. I backed it. Mike, did you back it?
I did indeed.
And Kev, did you back it?
I did not, sadly, no.
Out of the two of you, the one I thought would back it and wouldn't, switched.
Really?
Well, I don't want to dig up old history, but there is a certain Dreamcast book that was banned.
I've no idea what you mean. I didn't know Kev wrote a Dreamcast book.
Oh, no. it does look really cool, though, and the guy who's writing it, Simon Parkin, he's a seasoned veteran when it comes to games journalism. He's written for some pretty big sites and magazines, so I'm pretty sure it's in great hands. And also Darren Wall, the guy behind Read Only Memories, he's got a lot of experience in production of game books. They did the Mega Drive Collected Works recently as well, or a couple of years ago, which is a really, really great book. Just on this point, something that's not even related to the Dreamcast in any way, shape or form, I just wanted to give a quick mention to, is another Kickstarter project that went really well recently, which is the Neo Geo Collectors guidebook. And the guy who created it, Sam Dyer, he's a friend of mine, and I lent him my Neo Geo CD, which he photographed and put into the book, or rather the photographer photographed and put into the book. And then he sent me a copy free of charge in the post, which I wasn't expecting at all. So I just wanted to say thank you to him. If you're a fan of the Neo Geo, I know that certain people listening to this podcast are. I know you are, Mike. I also know that Rob is, and I also know that Ross is. So if you're a fan of the Neo Geo of all types, it's worth checking that out. Go to bitmapbooks.com, I think it is, Bitmap Books. If you search them on Google, you'll find them. But yeah, the Neo Geo book is, amazing, really. So, worth checking out. But let's move on to our first major topic of discussion. That is something that I received recently. Sorry, guys, it's going to be me talking again.
That's all right.
anyone who's already sick of my voice should probably stop listening now. Maybe go and listen to something else.
People listen to this podcast to listen to your voice, Tom.
I don't know why.
It's because you're... I don't know. It's obviously you have a large fan club of
It's people. Very soothing. It's like when old people used to leave Radio 4 on for their dogs when they went out. It's exactly the same thing.
Jesus Christ, being compared to Radio 4. Wow. There's worse things to be compared to, I suppose.
There is.
Yeah, yeah. So I won't leave you in suspense any longer. A couple of weeks ago, I received in the post a Dreamcast from a lovely chap from Austria called Jan. And what he'd done is that he had created a hybrid Dreamcast which can read GD-ROMs, but also accepts game files in the form of ISOs, which are inserted into the Dreamcast on a compact flash card. Now, this is a really interesting mod because even though there are lots of ways of importing games into a Dreamcast and playing them through kind of, you know, external media, shall we call it, like hard drives, and you've got things like the GDMU, there are none that actually keep the GD-ROM drive intact so that you can play games from a normal Dreamcast disc or through the CF card or whichever kind of format it takes. Again, obviously, there's things like the SD card as well that slots into the serial port on the back of the Dreamcast. But this was just a really interesting mod. He contacted me and said, would you like one of these to review? I was like, yeah, of course. And he sent it over to me. And I'm just really impressed with how compact and just how well it actually works, because a lot of these things, no disrespect, but a lot of these kind of like homebrew or modded systems can be a little bit janky, you know what I mean? They don't really work properly, or you open them up and there's just a mess of wires everywhere. This thing looks like, you know, it could have really been done by, well, a professional. Not that I'm saying that Jan isn't a professional, but it's just so clean. And the slot that the CF card goes into is just above the modem. And when it's in there, you can barely see it. It just pops out a little bit, about a centimetre. And yeah, you have a little switch on the back. You switch between normal boot mode, which is like a normal Dreamcast. You put your GD-ROMs in and they'll play as normal. But then if you flick this switch, it boots into Dream Shell. And because of the custom sort of, I don't know what, the software on the CF card allows the games that are on the card to come up with like a sort of a graphical user interface. Almost looks like Windows. It is obviously just normal boot dreams. Not Boot Dream, sorry, what I'm talking about, Dream Shell. You can just click on the icons and the games will load. There is a bit of messing about if you want to get your added games to look like that. He put a load on the card for me when he sent it. And I've added my own since. And like I said, there is a little bit of a mess about trying to put the icons into the GUI. But for the most part, it works fine. And loading times are vastly reduced. Functionality is perfect with GD-ROMs, and it just seems like the perfect way to, you know, have a load of Dreamcast games on a removable card, and just have the GD-ROM drive there available for, you know, any other games that you don't have on the card. As I said, I did a review of it. Did you see the review, guys?
I did.
I've not seen the review, but this sounds like. I've never really been that interested in any of the other mods, but something like that sounds ideal to me, not getting rid of your drive.
Yeah, yeah, totally. A guy who lives near me who reads the Dreamcast Junkyard, he saw the review and he was like, oh, can I come round and have a look at it? Because I'm really interested and I just want to see like how well it works. And he came round, I showed it him and he was just like, yeah, I'm going to get one. And they went and ordered one from the guy. So, yeah, I can't fault it, to be honest. It just works perfectly. Even when you put it into Dream Shell mode, you can still put GD-ROMs in and they'll load. And that way as well, it also makes it multi-region. So you can put a game from any region in it. It'll just read it and play it. So, yeah, perfect, really. If you want to see the review, I believe Adam Korolik has put a video review up as well because he was in receipt of one very recently. Yeah, so if you can't be asked reading my words, go and watch a bearded man talk about it.
You have the choice between Tom's lovely voice and Adam's lovely beard.
What a choice.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's move on. What are we on next? We've got an update here on the new games from Josh Prod.
Yes.
The studio bringing us things like Flashback, 4x4 Jam, which you reviewed, Mike, and thought was wondrous. There was a bit of discussion on the Facebook group last week, I believe it was, where somebody was asking, you know, where the hell are these games? You know, we've been waiting months for them, which I can kind of agree with. You know, the only one I've actually paid for is Flashback. But some people have like paid for the whole lot, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's first it said September, then it's October, now it's saying Christmas. So I asked Philippe, who is the guy who runs Josh Prod, where the games are. And it was quite good of him to get involved in the conversation, quite open as well. And he actually replied saying that this was actually last week, on the 5th of November. He said that they will receive them this week and they'll be sending them out on the same day. Whether or not they've actually received them and they're sending them out, I don't know. However, Flashback was held back from release because they got some additional content. This is actually an exclusive, by the way. They got some additional content to add to Flashback for the Dreamcast. I'm pretty sure he won't mind me revealing what the added content is, but I'm going to do it anyway because they've added new like cutscenes from the CD-ROM version, so the Oli FMV. Oh, cool. And they've also added updated soundtrack from the upcoming Nintendo Switch version of Flashback. And you can switch between those on the fly, so you can have the MIDI music or you can have the updated soundtrack, which is pretty cool. He sent me a demo version of it, and when it first loaded up, when the intro kicked in, there was just this kind of like really modern music, and I wasn't expecting that at all. And then when I got to the menu, there's an option to like change between, you know, 2017 music or classic music. So that was a nice touch. So again, even on top of all the other added content that they've got in there for the Dreamcast release, to add even more stuff is, you know, pretty cool. And it's only going to take another month or so to get it out in people's hands. So
it's it's good to know, because ever since Flashback was the only one I ordered as well, and I've been checking those emails that come out every Friday from Stan at Rush On Games, called, they're in French.
And
some of them just don't work for the translator. So I have genuinely been looking up like French language again for the first time since I was about 14, doing GCSEs to try and, is this it? Is my game coming? No, it's just an advert about some stupid game that's come out for the PlayStation.
I'm exact same for me, apart from the fact that I didn't learn French at school. And so I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about.
I literally
have no idea. But I think I may have spent thousands of pounds on buying games I don't want. I'm not sure. I get these weird emails come through. I'm sure I bought something I shouldn't have bought. I don't know.
Well, guys, we are going to touch on this in a bit, because we have got some questions from the members of the group on the Facebook group. So we will come back to Flashback.
I could interject very, very quickly.
Yes, please.
I'm not sure whether people have actually been aware, but you can also actually pre-order Star Sheriff and the Saber Riders. I can't remember what it's called. Sheriff.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
You can pre-order it on
Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs.
That's the one. Yeah. You can actually pre-order that game on the Rush On website now. It was a dead link for quite a while. You can actually pay for it and actually pre-order it. And it should be coming out, according to the screen, from what I can make out, with very poor French knowledge, at the same time as the other games.
Okay. How much is it?
It is 35 euros, I believe.
Ooh.
It seems to have suddenly come from nowhere, which is a bit odd. I don't see any announcements at all about it.
No.
But I've paid for it. So.
Of course you have.
Of course I have. So I may have just purchased a picture for all I know. I'm not quite sure, but from what I can tell, they actually are taking pre-orders for that as well, though.
Is that from this? I've never heard of that. Is that the same team or is that someone else?
No. So it was a successful Kickstarter. Right. About a year and a half ago, was it?
Longer than that. It must be 2 years now. Easy.
It might have been.
Yeah.
And basically correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. I don't think they met their Kickstarter goal for the Dreamcast, did they?
I can't remember, but the long and short is that they acquired the rights to this like really obscure cartoon called Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs. And the big thing was that they were going to release it on the 3DS, the Dreamcast and the PC years ago. And it's obviously just been trundling along in the background. I know the guy who's like the main like lead developer has had a lot of trouble with like staff turnover, people coming in, getting really upset with the way he handled things and then kind of quitting.
They've had some major issues. Yeah. The artist, didn't he? Has left and there's been a few issues, but it seems to be the way that with a lot of indie games is that they don't necessarily communicate as well as maybe those of us who've paid for the games would like them to. And so we're not quite sure what's going on half the time.
It's a bit murky, isn't it? There's another one called Henshin Engine, which kind of went dark for a while.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
That kind of went dark for a while, and apparently the lead developer had a gallstone or something like that, and he's been like really ill, so that's why it's just kind of dropped off the radar and no one's heard anything. So.
I have no issue with waiting for stuff, but you know,
we've
waited
for
years.
I wasn't sure if it was because they only made 40,000 copies of it, but they'd sold 65,000 in Singapore, so they didn't get to release it anywhere else.
No, for example, I paid for Slave about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and I'm still waiting for that bad boy to turn up. Yeah. So you know, I'm not going to cancel my order because I know eventually it'll come because you know. It's practically complete, but that's the thing with Dreamcast games, isn't it? They just kind of go off the radar, and then you don't hear anything until it just turns up.
Yeah,
you know,
the only indie developer that hasn't done that is Orion, who just suddenly came from nowhere, and suddenly we had like 6 games.
Yeah,
which was great.
He put those games out remarkably quickly for what they are.
He did, yeah.
Things like Zia and the Goddesses of Magic.
Yeah,
That is a fairly accomplished like retro themed 2D RPG, and from him announcing it to it coming out, it was what, less than a year.
Yeah,
and, you know, yeah, fantastic. So yeah, but I'm not one to complain about games development and you know things being pushed back because I haven't got a clue when it comes to making games. So I'm not going to point the finger and go, "Oi, where's my game?" Because
exactly, you
know, yeah, people far more intelligent and adept. At the helm of these kind of projects, so who am I to complain? Yeah, so the games from Josh Prod should be coming out soon, hopefully, and we'll all be able to stop moaning. One for me, I think, on the next topic, it's online gaming on the Dream Pi. Have either of you two got a Dream Pi?
I am getting closer. Dan, the other mod this month sent me an American modem because I'd been speaking to, is it PC Wizard or whatever he's called?
He's
got one of his kits now is the volt inducer and the modem built into one. So rather than having two, you can just have that one, but you need a US or a Japanese modem.
You do.
So
yeah.
I've got the modem. I've got a spare Raspberry Pi. I've just not got round to ordering that gear from him yet.
I have to be honest. The only way I've got on to playing these games online is because PC Wizard actually just went ahead and sent me a kit. You know, it's like his full kit of like the Raspberry Pi, the modem, basically everything, all the instructions. And it came in a box, and it was just like opening like a new thing from Apple. You know what I mean? It's like it was all like really well packaged and everything.
Do you think if we both like now say, you know, how great Green Pi is, you'll send me one for you as well.
Possibly. Because, you know, he's a listener. I'm sure he's listening to this now. Hello, PC Wizard. Are you listening?
Yeah. So, I am joking, obviously. I'm going to get one eventually. I have no technical knowledge whatsoever, so I need it to be as simple as possible.
Oh, mate, it's so simple. Honestly, like I said, I'm thick as pig shit, and I've got the instructions, and I followed them. You do need like a dream key disk so you can like put your own ISP details in, like load it up. But honestly, it's so simple, and I didn't appreciate how simple it was. And in the last couple of weeks, I've played a couple of different online sessions with the guys from over at Dreamcast Talk, the forum. They organise a games night every Sunday, and it's usually around about 7 or 8 o'clock PM for the UK. And I jumped on there the first time. We played Super Monaco Online, and our colleague James Jarvis, who looks after the YouTube account, he was on there as well. Mate, I was terrible. I've not played Monaco for years, and I forgot how twitchy the controls were. But that's by the by. The process of logging on and getting into a game was so simple, and it was almost as easy as it is with like the PS4 or whatever other console, you just kind of like log in, you end up in a lobby, you can chat for a bit, and then you can jump into a game, and it was just perfect. You know, it worked so well. There was no lag, there was no dropping out, there was nothing. It was just, for a console this old, using kind of retro-fitted technology, if that's what you want to call it, it was perfect. And then myself and PC, we jumped into a game of Choo Choo Rocket, an online game with two AI bots, which was quite good. Again, I was terrible because I've not played that for ages. And then the following weekend, we played Pod 2, which is the newest game to be brought back online. Yep. And again, that was so much fun. It was so good. It was, you know, I play a lot of Mario Kart online, and, you know, I had as much fun playing Pod on the Dreamcast against, you know, three other humans of the internet as I have playing Mario Kart. It was so, it's brilliant, you know. Yeah, so all I can say to people maybe listening to this who have, you know, heard about the Dream Pi and are thinking about getting one and not really sure about how it works, it's so simple. Do yourself a favour, get involved, go to dreamcastlive.net, have a look at the guides on there, have a look at Dreamcast Now, which is, it's kind of like a, it shows you who's been online, who's played what, who's online at the moment, and you'd be surprised how much activity there is actually on there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you click on there at any point, I think it's dreamcastnow.com, or if you just type Dreamcast Now into Google, you'll find it. You know, there'd be, you know, 12 people online at any one time playing Dreamcast games, which sounds like a very small amount compared to like PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, but we're talking about a Dreamcast here. It's a bit of a niche product in 2017. So to see that many people playing online games through the Raspberry Pi, the creation again of Luke Benstead, I have to give him a shout out, otherwise he'll moan. it's just great to see an online community.
Do you get the full online experience and have like random small children screaming abuse at you?
Fortunately not, no, because voice chat isn't supported yet over the
I know. I was just joshing.
You know, it reminds me of I remember the first time I ever played on Xbox Live was when I got involved when I had a 360, and it was Project Gotham Racing 3, and I didn't know what to expect because I'd never played online before on a console. And as soon as I hooked up, it was just like this music coming through the speakers, or like kids shouting, or just like talk, like American kids. I was just like, "What is this?"
And go on, sorry, Tom. Sorry,
I was going to say, I took a massive gap of about 10 years, and then I logged into Drive Club online, put the speakers on. It was the same thing. It's like it's not changed at all. It's got worse, in fact. So yeah, I don't ever play games online with speakers or headset. So.
Console online seems like all the time. I used to be in a Call of Duty, not a Call of Duty, sorry. I used to be in a Elite Force, Star Trek Elite Force. I'm really geeky. I used to be in Elite Force clan many, many years ago. And everyone online on PC is like everyone friendly, and you get quite a lot of people, you know, sort of helping out. I've made friends on there that I still know. Really, really good. And literally, I had a clan with some people I knew, like in my hometown, for Call of Duty on the Xbox 360. And every single match, you would have just the most abusive language every single game. It never used to be like this. I remember it in the good old days. Mm. It's terrible.
See, when Xbox has gone the other way now, I find, as in you go in a lobby and it's a bit like being in a desert by yourself. Everyone's just got their mic off.
That's because everyone's sick and tired of all the abuse they've got over the years.
Hello, I'm not going to shout racist or homophobic abuse at you. Please put your mic on.
Yeah,
that's kind of why I like the Switch, because there's no twat to speak to.
There's no option.
It's just like, right, there's some people here. They don't know me. I don't know them. You know, I might put like a little emoji thing on Mario Kart or a Let's Race or something. And then, you don't have to say bye. You just log out and you're just like, like ships passing in the night. That's how I like my online gaming. Yeah. Anyway, guys, let's move on to our next topic. It's not really a topic, actually. It was a call to action from the members of our illustrious and oft-mentioned Facebook group. If you're not aware of our Facebook group, by the way, it's just facebook.com/groups/ The Dreamcast Junkyard. As we alluded to earlier, it's now the biggest Facebook group for The Dreamcast on Facebook, so please feel free to join. Just don't be a dick. There's only a few rules. That's one of them.
Yeah, read the rules.
Yeah, so earlier this week, I put the call out on Facebook for some questions, and people responded in their tens, literally in their tens. And I've picked some of the ones that I thought would be the most entertaining to answer. Mm. And so I will I'll throw these out to you guys, and I'll try and answer some myself as well. Okay, so the first one is from Robbie Bobby Christopher Dunn Jr. Sorry, Christopher Drum Jr. I hope, well, I was going to say I hope that's not your real name, but if it is, then I apologise.
That's Robbie, one less member.
Yeah, Robbie asks, do any of you dudes think the Dreamcast could become its own ecosystem, like with enough interest? Do we see it going all hipster, accessories, homebrew, online gaming pickups? A resurgence is what I'm getting at. To you, Robbie, I say this. We're already at that point.
Yeah.
You don't have to take a look around the Dreamcast Junkyard Facebook group or Twitter or any of the social networks or our website, really. I mean, I, you know, take full responsibility for making the Dreamcast community what it is today, which is a shitstorm. No, I'm joking. What do you think, guys?
Yes, we already do. Name one of the console which has had homebrew. What we've had light guns. We've had Bluetooth control. Not Bluetooth, sorry. Wireless controllers.
It's Bluetooth. Had, yeah, you're right. It's
Bluetooth. Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Bluetooth controllers. We've had a Dream Pi. We've got 30 odd homebrew releases released commercially. We've got tons of other ones. We've got online gaming. We've got, you know, name me one of the retro console which has got anywhere like that.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. I mean, the Dreamcast does have a burgeoning kind of, like, you know, fan community. And it still kind of, it puzzles me that Sega doesn't take more of an active interest in it because, you know, there's so much going on in our community. I say our community, the Dreamcast Junkyard community, but the wider Dreamcast community as well, that's got nothing to do with our site or our groups or anything like that. It's a huge, comparatively, I mean, compared to like other retro consoles. I mean, how many like homebrew PS2 games do you see, or homebrew or indie PS1 games? You know,
would we want Sega to get involved? I mean, I think
the thing that disappoints me most about Sega's complete, like, it's almost like they don't want to admit they made the Dreamcast.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, surely if they had like Nintendo do they brought back the Nintendo Gaming Championships this year. Do you know if Sega had like a kind of fan convention or a way of acknowledging that they did all this cool stuff in the past? Surely that's only going to have positive association onto their future stuff.
Yeah, or even something like the Dreamcast Classic, like that guy made on YouTube, Cliff, the guy who made the little Raspberry Pi powered Dreamcast. I mean, something like that would be good.
Sega wouldn't know, because Sega have got to release at least 3 subpar Sonic games a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Just to, you know, they would have too much time doing that. No, you know, it's the homebrew and sort of the fans have done really well with it. But I don't know. I love Sega, but I just don't think Sega's track history in the last few years has necessarily been, you know, great.
Yeah, no, good point. Okay, let's move on to the next question. This is from John Henderson. Is it better to leave the official Dreamcast arcade stick as it is, or modify the stick or buttons? Should we be preserving original equipment yet? I'm torn. I have 2 arcade sticks, and they're both, like, you know, as they would be, you know, if they come out of the box. Mm-hmm. So, and I've never had any problem playing fighting games with them or any other kinds of games. I know that Rob has got one that he's modded. I think Ross might have one as well. And I know Caleb has got one that he's modded as well. Mike, have you got an arcade stick?
I got 4.
Well, stupid question, wasn't it? have you modded any of them?
I wouldn't have a clue how to mod one.
I
can barely play fighting games with it, let alone fucking mod it. No, I don't have a clue. I'm going to say I'm preserving the original equipment.
Fair enough.
I think I don't actually own one, but I think what I've seen people talking, it isn't as easy to swap out for new buttons, because I don't think the bezel size is right, is there? So you have to do some kind of actual work.
Making the holes actually bigger with like.
I think so. Yeah, I'm sure what I've seen, you have to kind of file around to get them to fit in.
Yeah. And the one that Rob's got is actually really nice. It's got like a nice custom stick on it and some bigger buttons and all that kind of thing. And I have seen some really impressive modded arcade sticks on the group and on other sites. So it's doable. Personally, I like to keep things kind of as they were. So yeah, that's just my opinion. Next question is from Martin Aaron Kay. We've kind of already touched on this, but I'll read it out anyway. What the hell is Rush On Games doing, and why is the website such a mess? Oh, and yes, you know them games you paid for? Where the hell are they? I like to read that.
Sounds angry.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going to read these out in like with a lot more kind of compassion from now. I feel like I'm on Points of View. Do you remember that show on TV? Yeah, so we talked about the games earlier. They're coming soon. I have to agree with Martin, to be honest. That Rush On Games website is a clusterfuck, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to, like, log in, create a fucking account, and then you can't navigate, and it's just, it's horrible. Kev, what do you think?
It's not user-friendly, is it?
No.
It's like it was designed by someone who hates other people.
It's like the whole of the internet these days is geared towards like user experience and how easy can you make it for the person who's going to come to your website. You know, there's things called bounce rates for a reason. It's like Rush On Game is trying to force people away from the website. No. You're not looking at this. I agree with Martin on that. It's horrendous website. Hopefully though, I know that playasia.com are also stocking the Josh Prod games, as are the BitStation and Video Games New York, plus a couple of other smaller ones as well. So they're not just available exclusively from Rush On Games. So yeah, maybe worth looking at some others as well. Okay,
is it that long a wait though? Really, as well? Have we really waited that long?
Not really. I don't think it's only a couple of months, isn't it?
No, Slave's been 2 years. I mean, it doesn't seem that long.
No, I mean, they were only released, in this year we've had the first batch, which was, Rush Rush, Rally Reloaded and all that, and Breakers and whatnot. And then the second batch came, not long after that. And I know, as we both know, Mike, there is a third batch coming, which we can't Indeed. Say too much about at this point. But get excited, people. I've already said too much. Okay, next question. Ben Manning says, what's your favourite N64 game? Mike?
Come back to me.
Okay, Kev.
GoldenEye.
Oh, nice choice. I was going to say Rush 2, but now you've said GoldenEye, I'm thinking about Perfect Dark. It's a toss-up for me between Perfect Dark and Rush 2, San Francisco Rush 2, Extreme Racing USA. I really love that game. It's shit, but I love it.
I've heard you mention that before. I don't think I've ever played it. I remember the box.
Yeah.
I remember the box very vividly. But...
Yeah, I love Rush 2049 on the Dreamcast, so... And that's like the sequel to it. So, yeah, it's the game sandwiched between 2049 and the original San Francisco Rush, which is terrible. But yeah, Rush 2. Mike, have you come up with one yet?
Yeah, Rogue Squadron.
Oh, nice. Good.
Rogue Squadron.
See, the thing about Rogue Squadron that always sticks in my mind is the fact that those kind of cheats or Easter eggs or whatever you want to call them were kind of hidden away for like over a decade. You can have the Naboo Starfighter and the other stuff that was kind of hidden away in the game. That's really cool. They must have paid the developers a lot of money to, not let that out of the bag. Okay, next one. Same question along the same lines from Ben Manning. What's your favourite Atari Jaguar game?
I've only actually played one Jaguar game, and it is Tempest, whichever Tempest version is on it.
Or Tempest 2000?
It was at the... do you remember the classic games championship thing they run nationally that I may or may not have completely ripped the idea off for the Dreamcast leagues I sometimes run. there was one of them on the Sheffield leg once, and I played it there.
It was good,
but it's the only time I've ever played on a Jaguar. So
wow. Mike?
I've also played Tempest in Sheffield, which is a bit weird. But anyway, my favourite Jaguar game is Super Burnout.
Do you know what, Mike? I've got the same one, Super Burnout.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good taste.
Amazing game. If you've never played a Jag before, get yourself a Jag, get yourself Super Burnout, and prepare to have your brain melted by speed.
Yes.
It's awesome. So, so smooth. Okay, Andy, I'm sorry, I'm going to murder your surname here because I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Andy O'Flaherty, I think it is. He asked, as we know, Soul Calibur was awesome, and it's arguably even better sequel, famously shipped with a platform-specific character for each version. GameCube had Link, the PS2 had Heihachi, and the Xbox version had Spawn. Now, imagine if the Dreamcast had lasted a bit longer and we also got a version of Soul Calibur 2. What extra character do you think would have featured?
Big the Cat.
Big the Cat?
Yeah.
with Astaroth's moveset.
Yep.
Good shout. Yeah,
he's got,
shout.
He's got a weapon.
Yeah.
Big the Cat. That's my choice.
Fair one. Kev?
The only character I could think, I possibly put too much thought into this compared to Mike's answer. The only character I could think that would seamlessly fit in, I don't even know if this is his real name, but I was thinking Shinobi.
Yeah?
Who? What? From which game?
The ninja. I was thinking today, I don't know if he is actually Shinobi or if there's a different one. But
yeah, but he's not on the Dreamcast, is he?
No, he's not. But he's a Sega guy.
Oh, right, okay.
You
kind of invent your own rules there, but carry on.
Well, I don't think Spawn is specifically Xbox, is he? That's true. Kind of what I've gone
for. Yes, that's true. Yeah, good point. Oh, yeah. In that case, we could have anyone, couldn't we?
Yeah. Tom. We'll have Tom. Tom will be on the game.
No, I was going to choose the sassy black woman from Headhunter, who you go and get your go and get your license from.
I think we should have you in the game, Tom. I think throwing VMUs at people. Ross in the game. We could have Ross in the game.
Oh yes, Ross could be in the game, banning people for using 16x9 Dreamcast displays. Hold that thought. Mark Williams says, do you think the Dreamcast could have survived if EA had got on board from the start? I think it would have been a lot better in terms of sales. I would have loved to have seen like a FIFA game or Medal of Honor or all those other different EA games come out on the Dreamcast with better graphics than the PS1 counterparts, things like Need for Speed, that would have been great. Road Rash, you know what I mean, those kind of things. I think if EA had been on board from the start, that would have been, it would have been good. I did read somewhere that the reason that EA wasn't involved was not because they dropped the Saturn, but because they wanted exclusive rights to all the sports games on the Dreamcast, and Sega was creating their own sort of 2K series. And the only reason I remember that is because I watched a video on YouTube last week from ReviewTech USA. I don't know if you guys watch him. He was doing a video about EA not supporting the Switch because they wanted to have complete rights over the Wii U online aspect, and they wanted to use Origin as the online thing for the Wii U. It's only speculation, but it kind of reminded me of something that I've read about EA wanting to have exclusive rights to all the sports games and Sega saying no. So with those two stories kind of combined, it almost seems like there's like a basis for an actual factual reason there. Do you know what I mean?
Especially with the Xbox, when they moved their EA games onto the original Xbox, it was that one of the conditions was they got rid of the XSN sports games. So they had the NFL Fever, they had the golf, they had tennis. I think, is it Top Spin?
Top Spin, yeah.
And they all stopped as a result of EA coming on.
Oh, that's a good point, that.
It does seem like that would be something they'd ask for based on that.
Oh, the plot thickens. Right, guys, moving on to our last question. It's not really a question, it's from a multitude of people. A bit of an outcry, really. A few people asked about the 16x9 gate currently gripping the Facebook group. Thoughts? The full list of widescreen-enabled games can actually be found on Sega Retro, but you do need a Game Shark to initiate the 16x9 widescreen mode. I was trying to think of games that do actually have a widescreen mode built in.
There's quite a few. Rayman has a 16x9.
Does it? Does MSR have one? I'm pretty sure MSR has a 16x9 mode.
I think it isn't. Isn't it unlockable?
I think it is, yeah. I seem to remember seeing it.
I think it's from the start. Yeah. There's quite a few with, I think, Wacky Races has 16x9 as well.
Cool. That's another one. So basically, for those people who don't know and are not in the Facebook group, we have this. We have a member of our team called Ross O'Reilly, who resides in the fair country of Japan. And he took it upon himself to introduce a rule in the Facebook group that if anyone posts any pictures of Dreamcast games stretched to a 16x9 screen, like an LCD or something, then he will instantly ban them. This has become a point of much contention. It was initially just included as a bit of a joke, but it seems to have taken upon itself. It's become a bit of a big deal. So personally, I don't give a toss. Do you know what I mean? play your games on whatever you want. You know, I'm guilty of playing games 16 by 9, and I've actually refrained from posting videos on the group because they were 16 by 9, and I couldn't be asked with a backlash. What are your thoughts on 16 by 9, guys? Not asked.
I think the rule was 69 games. I have no issue with particularly. People can do what they want. I don't play games stretched because I think it looks silly. But
yeah, I think as well. There's been a rise of people joining the group that never owned a Dreamcast or probably weren't old enough to have one, which is great to see. So to them, it's probably alien to play it for free. They might not even know that mode is on their TV.
That's a good point, actually, yeah, because obviously back in the day, pretty much all CRT TVs were 4x3, so games were designed to run in 4x3, whereas now most TVs are 16x9, but I think a lot of them do have a button on there for the aspect ratio, so, yeah.
Just as the ultimate wind-up yesterday on the Saturn site, on the Saturn junkyard, the sister site, I did put up a shot used from my Switch system that I've got set up. I had 14.9 stretched on my modern TV and 4.3 on the other one. whilst I was playing Virtual Cop. So obviously one screen was useless because you can't use the gun on the LCD. But yeah. I could do it, so I did. I posted a photo purely to upset people.
Did you get much of a backlash?
No, I think everyone realised why I was doing it to be a knob. So
the Saturn junkyard's far nicer than our group, though. As in, it's much more laid back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think people have to take into consideration that a lot of stuff that the admins post generally is just it's a bit of a joke, isn't it? It's a bit of a laugh. It's just don't take things too seriously.
We banned as someone who was involved with this whole 16-9 gate on the night time, 4:30 in the morning, I was kept up. That was ridiculous.
Wow.
It's always been a bit of a joke. Ross has always made it. It's very, very clear. If he's banned someone, we unban them literally in about a day. It's just a joke. It's a Facebook group. You know, I mean, you know, it's not an issue. But some people have taken it upon themselves to just literally. Well, apparently they've been messaging some of the admins, sort of like abuse.
Oh yeah,
just,
I get some. They can, I get some abuse.
They can fuck off because that's ridiculous. But it's just some of the guys on there were being really, really unfunny. The first rule of the group quite clearly states, if you haven't got a sense of humour, don't go on a group. It's obviously a joke, you know, light-hearted. How Junkyard is, those of us who read Junkyard for years and years and years, you know, you've always had the sort of humour on the site, and it's that sort of slightly absurdist sort of British humour. And people should know that. People take it too seriously. You know what? I have very little sympathy for them.
Yeah, so the moral of the story is this. It's all just a bit of fun. Chill, and we'll all have a great time.
But Ross might ban you.
Yeah, Ross might ban you, yeah.
So. He might ban you.
Post when he's in bed or something. Look what time it is in like Tokyo or something, and see what time it is where you are, and you know, judge whether he'll be in bed. Anyway, right, guys. We've been waffling on now for quite some time, and as I said at the top of the show, I am not going to edit this because I simply cannot be bothered. So I'm going to put it out as is, and you know, depending on how that goes, how many times I say or how many times I fuck up, will dictate if we do this again. But hopefully, people will enjoy the episode. All it remains for me to say is thank you for joining me on this nice clear Friday night in a. The United Kingdom, and we're broadcasting to the world, so thanks very much for listening. We can all be found on social media. On Twitter, we can be found as a collective at the DC Junkyard. Mike, you can be found on Twitter at
space_turnip.
Kev, you can be found on Twitter at
At Moneyball_mace. So
Moneyball Mace, and I'm on Twitter at Tom Lee C. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDreamcastJunkyard. And our group is groups/TheDreamcastJunkyard. And of course, the thing that holds us all together is the main site, which is www.thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. Feel free to check that out. And once again, thank you very much for listening. Thank you to everybody on Patreon who donates $1 a month. That helps us to get out of bed in the morning. And keeps us all in pot noodles and cheap lager. So thanks for that. And yeah, until the next time, we will bid you goodbye. Everybody say goodbye.
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 Here we go.
Please stop this disc now. Now.